Libya was also in Haiti, and we call him Bouik Chargé.
And
he was the guy, the arrogant, ugly American who came in and says, this is what we are telling you to do. And I'm telling you, the fact that he was safe in Haiti was
Ashanda.
Yeah, let me just leave it at that. This guy had it coming somehow. And so he really was a guy who interfered in the local politics. And so no one actually really made this connection. So I want you, or you can't actually tell me, no, I don't want to do that. I want you to make the case to tell people to call 516-620-3602 to support Katie Halpern, who has an open-minded view, who's pushing these different ideas where people can argue, discuss, and bring these ideas to the fore.
What say ye? What say you, sir?
Well, I mean, I totally agree. Look, how many shows on the radio can you listen to where it's just the normal sort of, hey, look at the crazy thing Trump said today. Hey, look at, I don't know, Clinton has pneumonia or a cold or something. You know, how many shows are there like that on the radio? There's infinite number of shows. There's no variety. Nothing's being moved forward by a lot of this. But when you listen to Katie Halpern, I think what she's really trying to do is drill down in these discussions and bring about points of view that you're not going to see everywhere, and points of view that I think that really move the entire country forward and definitely move the conversation forward. So, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious why people should support Katie. It's definitely one of the best radio shows that I ever get to be on. And I think that if we want more of it, we got to vote with our dollars. So, it's to me, it's pretty obvious. It's no question about it.
Wow, thank you very much.
So please call 516-620-3602 and say you want to be a BI buddy for the Katie Halpern show.
You can
give $10 a month to sustain this show, and so that can help us reduce the on-air fund drive days. Again, the number is 516-620-3602. I would love to talk to you, Zab.
I have
disagreements, you know.
Yeah. Well, we'll have you do a live.
We would love to have that conversation, yeah. But right now, 516-620-3602 is the number to call to support the Katie Halpern show. Give $10 or, you know, somewhat in that range to support that show, to become a sustained supporter of that show. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. I'm the general manager of WBI, and I hate being on the air, but I enjoy this show so much that I came in here to let you to support 516-620-3602, the Katie Halpern show.
And see you guys next week with Corey Robin. We're going to be on the radio doing a live broadcast, and you can come donate. You'll come for free. We'll save you a seat because these things get really, really crazy crowded. And as a gift for you, I'm going to read really quickly. I'm going to share something with you guys that friend of the show, Josh Bregman, shared with me. And it's a really great, this is a very funny exchange. It's from a 2014 email exchange with the top Clinton aide, Roy Spence, a longtime friend. And he sent over these possible slogans to sum up her candidacy. Ready? It's a shame she didn't go with him. Ready? Quote, neither change nor continuity, but the different way, the new way. Or, she champions with clear vision and grit. We will build not the partisanships, but rather the ship of state flying the American dream flag. I don't know why they didn't go with those. She'd be beating Trump at an even higher rate. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Zed Jelani. We love having you. Follow Zed Jelani on Twitter, and we will see you next week. And make sure to check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud. Bye.
City. Countless movies and TV shows have been shot here. And in all those movies, everyone's young and attractive. No one has a real job, but they all live in fabulous giant apartments on Park Avenue. That is not New York, okay? New York is loud, it's expensive, it's dirty. New York is a crowded subway that never shows up on time. That's New York. And with 13 million people here every day, everyone's got a different story. So tune in here every Thursday from 7 to 8 to hear me, Marie Faustin, share some of my stories and chat it up with some of my favorite storytellers from right here in the melting pot. Careful, it's hot. Every week, we'll be serving up stories that'll have you laughing or crying or immediately booking a flight to the city that never sleeps. Don't worry, we'll leave the light on for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you value the work of the award-winning Midnight Ravers, then you need to show your financial support during WBAI's October Fund Drive. Join us this Friday, October 14th, 2016, from 12 midnight to 2 a.m., as we present Slave, Days of Blood, Days of Tears. I'm serious about this. We need you. Otherwise, there may be dire consequences. So, spread the word and show your support. That's Friday, October 14th, from 12 midnight to 2 a.m., for the Midnight Ravers presentation of Slave, Days of Blood, Days of Tears. Only on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM.
The Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special.
And welcome in to WBAI 99.5 FM. My name is Tony Bates, and as you tune in to WBAI, we're going to do what we always do, and that's to look at some alternative perspectives this afternoon. We've put a pack together for you that we're calling the Ancient African History Pack, and included in that pack is A Great Mighty Walk by Dr. John Henry Clark. It includes the speech Black Men Wake Up by Dr. Yosef Ben-Yohanan, and it also includes the film Zeitgeist. And you might ask why it includes the film Zeitgeist. Well, that movie begins with a dissertation or a dissection of the biblical story that we've been told, and points out that many of those stories that we were told were found first in Egypt. Before they made their way into the churches on Sunday mornings and into the books that we read and the stories that we tell, that many of those stories were taken directly from ancient texts in Egypt. It's an interesting perspective, and this film, Zeitgeist, is not just about that. It's about our need to question wholly what we're told in education, what we're educated with, what we're taught in media, the perspectives that we're given. It reminds us that it's important that we do our own research and that we begin to search for ourselves. Now, this pack is going to be really, we've made this kind of really on the low end for everyone. It's three DVDs. It's over 6 hours of material, or it's about 6 hours of material, and it's going to be only a $125 pledge. It's a fantastic package. But many of the things, as I've begun to study deeply, or more deeply, the history of African peoples, of Black peoples around this planet, and more I am discovering that the stories that I've been told don't match the histories. And not they match the histories of the West, but when you go deeper into the African writings, you find that there are many records of ships leaving Africa and sailing to other places, when we were told that Africans stayed on their continent and didn't really have any ships and couldn't figure out how to get off of their continent. We learned that there were possibly Black peoples here when Columbus arrived, and that he wrote that in his journals, that the Spanish explorers, the Italian explorers wrote the same thing as they traveled. The Portuguese explorers wrote the same things as they traveled throughout the Americas, that they encountered people that they described as Ethiopians, or that looked like Ethiopians here in the Americas. And so it's, from my perspective, it's more and more imperative that we begin to look at what we were taught. I was talking earlier today during a program about medicine about the fact that doctors have begun to say that cholesterol might not really be the problem with our arteries, and that fats might not really be that bad for our bodies. And the point here is just that things change, and there is not as much of a big deal about the correction of the ideas as there is the teaching of the ideas. We find that these ideas are beaten into our brains by society. They will make films that reflect these teachings we've had. For instance, we talked about the film The Gods of Egypt, which bombed. Because there were bombed, I should say, there were no Black folks in it, and it's a country in Africa, and it just seems odd to me that that myth is still perpetuated to the tune of tens of millions of dollars they put money in to convince us that the Egyptians, that Egypt is somehow not a part of Africa for one thing, and that the folks there were not black folks. All of these ideas have to be, and I'm not saying that they are or aren't. What I'm saying is that we have to do our own research and begin to challenge the ideas that we were taught as children, that we were taught as adults, that we were taught in college. Many of these things don't hold up to the light of scrutiny. And one of the things I like to remind people of when I'm on the air is, if you think of schooling as education, I say that when we got to school, in elementary school, from the very beginning, we walk into the classroom and there's a chart there. And the chart says there are four food groups that you must eat. It's you need meat every day. You need vegetables every day. You need fruit every day, and you need dairy every day. Wait a minute, what? You need dairy every day? You see, cow milk is made for baby cows. But from the time we are 5 years old, we are being conditioned to be a consumer of milk products. And so they start by telling us that it's necessary that we eat dairy every day. That's just an example of the kind of conditioning we encounter in our educations, but that's one that begins on the very first day of our schooling. And it is simply that. It's conditioning and programming us to be consumers, because human beings never need cow's milk. And there are so many of these places. That's just a minor example for me. But there are so many of these places, these holes in our educations, that we have got to look at and question. And even the things that we hold dearly, regardless of what side of the aisle we're on when it comes to history, the facts are the facts, and the not facts are the not facts. The fallacies remain fallacies, even if we've been taught them and accepted them. And so this pack kind of looked at some of those things and gives us a new perspective on where things came from. So much of what we have learned is Greek culture, for instance, a Greek teaching, comes out of Africa. So much of what we've learned in our religions come straight out of Africa and can be shown in African proverbs and texts to be well in place hundreds to thousands of years before they appeared in other places. And it's time for us to go back and take a look. And that's what we're going to do this afternoon, as we take a journey back and look at some ancient African history. And we're going to start with the film Zeitgeist. Remember, you can get this film for a pledge of just $55 at 516-620-3602 or by visiting gifttowbai.org. And now I'm going to make some of your heads hurt, because this film challenges not only the history, but some of our closely held religious beliefs. It challenges them. But I want to point out again that if we're telling you things on WBAI that you already believe, then we're not teaching you. The point is for all of us that we have to challenge even what we hold dearly. And in that challenge, we may find that what we hold dearly is correct. But the challenge itself should not be an assault on your personal beliefs. So remember, call us at 516-620-3602. And we're going to learn about the role now that the sun plays in what we see as our history.
Back as 10,000 BC, history is abundant with carvings and writings reflecting people's respect and adoration for this object. And it is simple to understand why, as every morning the sun would rise, bringing vision, warmth, and security, saving man from the cold, blind, predator-filled darkness of night. Without it, the cultures understood, the crops would not grow, and life on the planet would not survive. These realities made the sun the most adorned object of all time. Likewise, they were also very aware of the stars. The tracking of the stars allowed them to recognize and anticipate events which occurred over long periods of time, such as eclipses and full moons. They in turn cataloged celestial groups into what we know today as constellations. This is the cross of the zodiac, one of the oldest conceptual images in human history. It reflects the sun as it figuratively passes through the 12 major constellations over the course of a year. It also reflects the 12 months of the year, the four seasons, and the solstices and equinoxes.
The term zodiac relates to the fact that constellations were anthropomorphized, or personified, as figures or animals. In other words, the early civilizations did not just follow the sun and stars, they personified them with elaborate myths involving their movements and relationships. The sun, with its life-giving and saving qualities, was personified as a representative of the unseen creator or God, God's sun, the light of the world, the savior of humankind. Likewise, the 12 constellations represented places of travel for God's sun, and were identified by names, usually representing elements of nature that happened during that period of time. For example, Aquarius, the water bearer, who brings the spring rains. This is Horus. He is the sun god of Egypt of around 3000 BC. He is the sun, anthropomorphized, and his life is a series of allegorical myths involving the sun's movement in the sky. From the ancient hieroglyphics in Egypt, we know much about the solar messiah. For instance, Horus, being the sun or the light, had an enemy known as Set, and Set was the personification of the darkness or night. And, metaphorically speaking, every morning Horus would win the battle against Set, while in the evening Set would conquer Horus and send him into the underworld. It is important to note that dark versus light, or good versus evil, is one of the most ubiquitous mythological dualities ever known, and is still expressed on many levels to this day. Broadly speaking, the story of Horus is as follows. Horus was born on December 25th of the Virgin Isis Mary. His birth was accompanied by a star in the east, which, in turn, three kings followed to locate and adorn the newborn savior. At the age of 12, he was a prodigal child teacher, and at the age of 30, he was baptized by a figure known as Anup, and thus began his ministry. Horus had 12 disciples he traveled about with, performing miracles such as healing the sick and walking on water. Horus was known by many gestural names such as the Truth, the Light, God's Anointed Son, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, and many others. After being betrayed by Typhon, Horus was crucified, buried for 3 days, and thus resurrected. These attributes of Horus, whether original or not, seem to permeate many cultures of the world, for many other gods are found to have the same general mythological structure. Attis of Phrygia, born of the Virgin Nana on December 25th, crucified, placed in a tomb, and after 3 days was resurrected. Krishna of India, born of the Virgin Devaki, with a star in the east signaling his coming. He performed miracles with his disciples, and upon his death was resurrected. Dionysus of Greece, born of a virgin on December 25th, was a traveling teacher who performed miracles such as turning water into wine. He was referred to as the King of Kings, God's only begotten Son, the Alpha and Omega, and many others. And upon his death, he was resurrected. Mithra of Persia, born of a virgin on December 25th. He had 12 disciples and performed miracles, and upon his death was buried for 3 days and thus resurrected. He was also referred to as the Truth, the Light, and many others. Interestingly, the sacred day of worship of Mithra was Sunday. The fact of the matter is, there are numerous saviors from different periods from all over the world which subscribe to these general characteristics. The question remains, why these attributes? Why the virgin birth on December 25th? Why dead for 3 days in the inevitable resurrection? Why 12 disciples or followers? To find out, let's examine the most recent of the solar messiahs. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary on December 25th in Bethlehem. His birth was announced by a star in the east, which three kings or magi followed to locate and adorn a new savior. He was a child teacher at 12. At the age of 30, he was baptized by John the Baptist, and thus began his ministry. Jesus had 12 disciples, which he traveled about with, performing miracles such as healing the sick, walking on water, raising the dead. He was also known as the King of Kings, the Son of God, the Light of the World, the Alpha and Omega, the Lamb of God, and many, many others. After being betrayed by his disciple Judas and sold for 30 pieces of silver, he was crucified, placed in a tomb, and after 3 days was resurrected and ascended into heaven. First of all, the birth sequence is completely astrological. The star in the east is Sirius, the brightest star in the night sky, which, on December 24th, aligns with the three brightest stars in Orion's belt. These three bright stars in Orion's belt are called today what they were called in ancient times, the Three Kings. And the Three Kings and the brightest star, Sirius, all point to the place of the sunrise on December 25th. This is why the Three Kings follow the star in the east, in order to locate the sunrise, the birth of the sun. The Virgin Mary is the constellation Virgo, also known as Virgo the Virgin. Virgo in Latin means virgin. The ancient glyph for Virgo is the altered M. This is why Mary, along with other virgin mothers, such as Adonis's mother Myra, or Buddha's mother Maya, begin with an M. Virgo is also referred to as the house of bread, and the representation of Virgo is a virgin holding a sheaf of wheat. This house of bread and its symbol of wheat represents August and September, the time of harvest. In turn, Bethlehem, in fact, literally translates to house of bread. Bethlehem is thus a reference to the constellation Virgo, a place in the sky, not on earth. There's another very interesting phenomenon that occurs around December 25th, or the winter solstice. From the summer solstice to the winter solstice, the days become shorter and colder. And from the perspective of the northern hemisphere, the sun appears to move south and get smaller and more scarce. The shortening of the days and the expiration of the crops when approaching the winter solstice symbolize the process of death to the ancients. It was the death of the sun. And by December 22nd, the sun's demise was fully realized. For the sun, having moved south continually for 6 months, makes it to its lowest point in the sky. Here a curious thing occurs. The sun stops moving south, at least perceivably, for 3 days. And during this 3-day pause, the sun resides in the vicinity of the Southern Cross, or Crux, constellation. And after this time, on December 25th, the sun moves 1 degree, this time north, foreshadowing longer days, warmth, and spring. And thus it was said, the sun died on the cross, was dead for 3 days, only to be resurrected or born again. This is why Jesus and numerous other sun gods share the crucifixion, 3-day death, and resurrection concept. It is the sun's transition period before it shifts its direction back into the northern hemisphere, bringing spring and thus salvation. However, they did not celebrate the resurrection of the sun until the spring equinox, or Easter. This is because at the spring equinox, the sun officially overpowers the evil darkness, as daytime thereafter becomes longer in duration than the night, and the revitalizing conditions of spring emerge. Now, probably the most obvious of all the astrological symbolism around Jesus regards the 12 disciples. They are simply the 12 constellations of the zodiac.
And welcome back. That's the film Zeitgeist, the movie, and that already is challenging. And again, as I said at the top of this hour, if we're not challenging you, if we're saying the same thing to you, we're not doing our jobs. And so when I came across this material, I thought to myself, how could this be? I mean, I grew up in a good Southern home with a grandmother who I went to church with and a father who insisted that I did so, and that's not what I was taught. I thought it different. It challenged me greatly, I have to say, and I didn't buy it. So I started to do a little research to see what this guy was talking about, these claims he was making about these allegories of the sun in comparison to the stories that I'd been taught as a child. And sure enough, I began to be able to locate some of these things. And, you know, this isn't a perfect documentary with all of the information necessarily, but it's a starting point for you to begin to research for yourself and find out if what we've been taught is true. And so what we've put together again for you folks is a fantastic pack. It's the African History Pack. It's Zeitgeist, the movie. It is A Great and Mighty Walk by Dr. John Henry Clark. And it's also Black Man Wake Up by Dr. Ben. All three of those for a pledge of $125 to WBAI. Get on the phone now at 516-620-3602 and get all three. It's like 6 hours worth of information for $125. It's certainly worth your pledge of support to this station. And because at a time where people are beginning to challenge what they see on television, challenge what they have been taught in history, and challenge mainstream memes in general, this is a beginning point for that. And it was for me, just to start to ask those questions. We learn later in this film that these stories can be seen otherwheres in places like the Egyptian Book of the Dead. That many of it, there were more commandments than the 10 given in the original story, for instance. And we're going to go into some of that with Dr. Ben in our next piece. But right now, this piece, Zeitgeist, should be shocking you like it shocked me. And it's available for your pledge of $125. 516-620-3602. It's actually available by itself for a pledge of $55. But my suggestion is it's a real gift to get all three of these items, just about 6 hours worth of material for your pledge of $125 to WBAI. 516-620-3602. Now, who knew that there were other gods? Zoroaster, the blue guy over in India, several of these who have the same aspects, Mithra, who have the same aspects as our god. Born on December 25th, died for 3 days and came back, and walked around with disciples, healed the sick, and raised the dead. But in fact, it appears that these correlate with the sun as well, and that they are astronomical in nature. Those corollaries are laid out for you in this film. 516-620-3602, a pledge of $125. And it's just the beginning of it. It's going to blow your mind. We're going to get deeper and deeper into this documentary. But before we do, we've got to get five more of you on the line now. Let's do that. 516-620-3602. Just five people pledging at the $125 level. We accept your Visa card. We accept your MasterCard. We accept your Discover card. We accept your American Express card. Don't forget, you can always become a BAI buddy by pledging just $10 a month on your credit card or from your bank account and giving us $120 per year. But take the time right now. This documentary is going to get deeper. Don't wait till the last minute. There is plenty here to wrap your brain around and to understand. When you see these corollaries around the world of the same kind of deities with the same aspects, born on the same day, you have to ask yourself the question, is this all there is to know? Is the story that I have even the original story? We're going to lay it out for you, but we want you to make that decision for yourself. We know that we don't have to think for you because you're intelligent folk out there. 516-620-3602. Join those calling right now. Can we get that final caller on the line right now? 516-620-3602. A pledge of $125 for all three of the DVDs. It's Zeitgeist the Movie, it's Black Man Wake Up, and it's A Great and Mighty Walk by John Henry Clark, which is a really, really well-produced, amazing, amazing documentary about our trip from Africa to the islands, to the mainland, and that Middle Passage journey, and our triumph since we've arrived here. It's a great piece, produced and narrated by Wesley Snipes. All of those available for a pledge of just $125. Now, normally, we'd offer just that one to you for $100, but today, we've put together a special package, and we want to put all three of them in your hands so you can begin to look back and see if your history is real history. 516-620-3602. We're still waiting for that final caller, 516-620-3602, to pledge at the $125 level. And then we're going to go right back to more from Zeitgeist. But it's important, folks, that you pick up the phone, make your pledge of support, or visit givetowbai.org and get the African History Pack. 516-620-3602. And now we're going to get back to the sun and hear about the constellations and the 12 disciples.
It's obvious of all the astrological symbolism around Jesus regards the 12 disciples. They are simply the 12 constellations of the zodiac, which Jesus, being the sun, travels about with.
In fact, the number 12 is replete throughout the Bible. This text has more to do with astrology than anything else. Coming back to the cross of the zodiac, the figurative life of the sun, this was not just an artistic expression or tool to track the sun's movement. It was also a pagan spiritual symbol, the shorthand of which looked like this. This is not a symbol of Christianity. It is a pagan adaptation of the cross of the zodiac. This is why Jesus in early occult art is always shown with his head on the cross, for Jesus is the Son of God, the light of the world, the risen Savior, who will come again, as it does every morning, the glory of God, who defends against the works of darkness, as he is born again every morning, and can be seen coming in the clouds, up in heaven, with his crown of thorns or sun rays. Now, of the many astrological, astronomical metaphors in the Bible, one of the most important has to do with the ages. Throughout the scriptures, there are numerous references to the age. In order to understand this, we need to be familiar with a phenomenon known as the precession of the equinoxes. The ancient Egyptians, along with cultures long before them, recognized that approximately every 2150 years, the sunrise on the morning of the spring equinox would occur at a different sign of the zodiac. This has to do with a slow, angular wobble that the Earth maintains as it rotates on its axis. It is called a precession because the constellations go backwards rather than through the normal yearly cycle. The amount of time it takes for the precession to go through all 12 signs is roughly 25,765 years. This is also called the Great Year, and ancient societies were very aware of this, and they referred to each 2150-year period as an age. From 4300 BC to 2150 BC, it was the age of Taurus, the bull. From 2150 BC to 1 AD, it was the age of Aries, the ram. And from 1 AD to 2150 AD, it is the age of Pisces, the age we are still in to this day. And in and around 2150, we will enter the new age, the age of Aquarius. Now, the Bible reflects, broadly speaking, a symbolic movement through three ages while foreshadowing a fourth. In the Old Testament, when Moses comes down Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, he is very upset to see his people worshiping a golden bull calf. In fact, he shattered the stone tablets and instructed his people to kill each other in order to purify themselves. Most biblical scholars will attribute this anger to the fact that the Israelites were worshiping a false idol or something to that effect. The reality is, the golden bull is Taurus the bull, and Moses represents the new age of Aries the ram. This is why Jews even today still blow the ram's horn. Moses represents the new age of Aries, and upon the new age, everyone must shed the old age. Other deities mark these transitions as well, such as Mithra, a pre-Christian god who kills the bull in the same symbology. Now Jesus is the figure who ushers in the age following Aries, the age of Pisces, or the two fish. Fish symbolism is very abundant in the New Testament. Jesus feeds 5,000 people with bread and two fish. When he begins his ministry walking along Galilee, he befriends two fishermen who follow him. And I think we have all seen the Jesus fish on the back of people's cars. Little do they know what it actually means. It is a pagan astrological symbolism for the sun's kingdom during the age of Pisces. Also, Jesus' assumed birth date is essentially the start of this age.
At Luke 22:10, when Jesus is asked by his disciples where the next Passover will be after he is gone, Jesus replies, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in." This scripture is by far one of the most revealing of all the astrological references. The man bearing the pitcher of water is Aquarius, the water bearer, who is always pictured as a man pouring out a pitcher of water. He represents the age after Pisces, and when the sun, God's son, leaves the age of Pisces, Jesus, it will go into the house of Aquarius, as Aquarius follows Pisces in the procession of the equinoxes. All Jesus is saying is that after the age of Pisces will come the age of Aquarius.
Wow. Now, that's different than anything I was ever taught in my life. 516-620-3602. That's a clip from the film Zeitgeist. And it takes this story that I've been taught my entire life and connects it to astrology and astronomy. And this was a new perspective for me when I came into this material. And again, it sent me off literally to the library to do research, because I couldn't accept what he was saying, nor did I believe it. And nor do I expect you to believe it, but I expect you to research it for yourself. And we're going to help you do that by offering this film to you for the pledge level of $55. The phone number to call is 516-620-3602, or call and pledge for $125 and get the ancient, or rather the African history pack. And that includes the film Zeitgeist. It includes A Great and Mighty Walk by John Henrik Clark. And it includes Black Man Wake Up by Dr. Ben. 516-620-3602. Please give us a call right now and pledge at that $125 level. And have you thought of it in this way before? That when Jesus was saying, come to the end of the age, that there will be a man carrying a pitcher of water, he was referring to the sign of Aquarius. Well, you know, you get to make that decision for yourself. But take this documentary. Look at it. Now, this film isn't just about this subject matter. It's a film that questions our society in general. The second part of the film questions our banking system. The third part of the film questions the stories and mythologies around 9/11. This film is included because of this aspect specifically. This knowledge that we know appears, as he mentioned, in Egypt first, but recurs around the globe with the same aspects. And from the perspective of this filmmaker, those aspects are astronomical, literally. 516-620-3602, a $125 pledge of support to WBAI for the African History Pack. If you want to get just that film, it's a $55 pledge to WBAI. You can find that online at give2wbai.org. That's give, the numeral 2, WBAI.org. Make that pledge. Decide to make WBAI your station today, not just by talking about it, but by doing your part and literally pledging your support by giving us your support in the form of finance. 516-620-3602. Just a $125 pledge on your Discovery card, on your Visa card, on your American Express card, on your MasterCard, whichever you choose. But do pick up the phone, dial 516-620-3602, and make that pledge of support. I don't get to be on these airwaves doing this unless you pick up the phone and make that call. And it's imperative, folks, that we challenge everything that we believe. As I see more and more, I mean, how many of us were Hillary supporters at some point and have heard Bernie point out so many inconsistencies in her story that we've had to challenge ourselves? How many of us believed that Columbus once discovered America and have had to challenge that? How many of us have been taught so many, miseducated so badly and taught fallacies that we've had to learn on our own? And sometimes I bring up subjects to people and they say, I know that. You didn't know that? Oh, you've been on this before me. But because we have a station like WBAI, we get to hear on these very airwaves challenges to our very own personally held beliefs. And there's nothing wrong with looking a little further. Maybe your opinion doesn't change. Maybe it stays the same. But the challenge is the important part. And you can do that by getting this documentary, Zeitgeist, the movie, at 516-620-3602. Please make a phone call of support to WBAI now. And we're going to get back to this film because it's really very powerful in general. But remember, for a pledge of $125, we're sending you about 6 hours of material that will send you off to the library. But the second part of this pack is Dr. John Henry Clark's A Great and Mighty Walk, a beautifully produced piece about the journey from Africa to the Americas. And there is also Black Man Wake Up by Dr. Ben. All of those for a pledge of $125, powerful pieces, and a look back at our history as it was, not as it was put together by our teachers, but as it's been put together by researchers and scholars who have a different perspective. 516-620-3602. We go back to the film, Zeitgeist, the movie.
Now, we have all heard about the end times and the end of the world. The cartoonish depictions in the Book of Revelation aside, the main source of this idea comes from Matthew 28:20, where Jesus says, "I will be with you even to the end of the world." However, in the King James Version, "world" is a mistranslation, among many mistranslations. The actual word being used is eon, which means age. "I will be with you even to the end of the age," which is true, as Jesus' solar Piscean personification will end when the sun enters the age of Aquarius. The entire concept of end times and the end of the world is a misinterpreted astrological allegory. Let's tell that to the approximately 100 million people in America who believe the end of the world is coming. Furthermore, the character of Jesus being a literary and astrological hybrid is most explicitly a plagiarization of the Egyptian sun god Horus. For example, inscribed about 3,500 years ago on the walls at the Temple of Luxor in Egypt are images of the Annunciation, the Immaculate Conception, the birth, and the adoration of Horus. The images begin with Thoth announcing to the virgin Isis that she will conceive Horus, then Neph, the Holy Ghost, impregnating the virgin, and then the virgin birth and the adoration. This is exactly the story of Jesus' miracle conception. In fact, the literary similarities between the Egyptian religion and the Christian religion are staggering. And the plagiarism is continuous. The story of Noah and Noah's Ark is taken directly from tradition. The concept of the Great Flood is ubiquitous throughout the ancient world, with over 200 cited claims in different periods and times. However, one need look no further for a pre-Christian source than the Epic of Gilgamesh, written in 2600 BC. This story talks of a great flood commanded by God, an ark with saved animals upon it, and even the release and return of a dove, all held in common with the biblical story, among many other similarities. And then there is the plagiarized story of Moses. Upon Moses' birth, it is said that he was placed in a reed basket and set adrift in a river in order to avoid infanticide. He was later rescued by a daughter of royalty and raised by her as a prince. This baby in a basket story was lifted directly from the myth of Sargon of Akkad of around 2250 BC. Sargon was born, placed in a reed basket in order to avoid infanticide, and set adrift in a river. He was in turn rescued and raised by Aki, a royal midwife. Furthermore, Moses is known as the lawgiver, the giver of the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law. However, the idea of a law being passed from God to a prophet up on a mountain is also a very old motif. Moses is just another lawgiver in a long line of lawgivers in mythological history. In India, Manu was the great lawgiver. In Crete, Minos ascended Mount Dicta, where Zeus gave him the sacred laws.
while in Egypt there was Mises, who carried stone tablets, and upon them the laws of God were written. Manu, Minos, Mises, Moses. And as far as the Ten Commandments, they are taken outright from spell 125 in the Egyptian Book of the Dead. What the Book of the Dead phrased, I have not stolen, became thou shalt not steal. I have not killed, became thou shalt not kill. I have not told lies, became thou shalt not bear false witness, and so forth. In fact, the Egyptian religion is likely the primary foundational basis for the Judeo-Christian theology. Baptism, afterlife, final judgment, virgin birth, death and resurrection, crucifixion, the Ark of the Covenant, circumcision, saviors, Holy Communion, Great Flood, Easter, Christmas, Passover, and many, many more are all attributes of Egyptian ideas long predating Christianity and Judaism. One of the first Christian historians and defenders wrote, "When we say that he, Jesus Christ, our teacher, was produced without sexual union, was crucified and died and rose again and ascended into heaven, we propound nothing different from what you believe regarding those who you esteem sons of Jupiter." In a different writing, Justin Martyr said, "He was born of a virgin. Accept this in common with what you believe of Perseus." It's obvious that Justin and other early Christians knew how similar Christianity was to the pagan religions. However, Justin had a solution. As far as he was concerned, the devil did it. The devil had the foresight to come before Christ and create his characteristics in the pagan world.
Fundamentalist Christianity, fascinating. These people actually believe the world is 12,000 years old. I swear to God. I actually asked one of these guys, okay, dinosaur fossils. He says, dinosaur fossils, God put those here to test our faith.
And I believe if we let that clip keep going, it's going to test the FCC, so we don't want to do that. But he basically says, God put those here to test my faith. And he said, you're testing my faith by bringing that up. But those facts that you just heard are very interesting, folks. It's a lot to take in at one time. 516-620-3602 is the phone number to call to make a pledge for just $125. We're going to send you all three of these DVDs in the African History Pack. You heard in that clip, these memes, these ideas, including the Ten Commandments, including the idea of Moses, originate in Egypt. They can be found written on the walls, the birth, the adoration, the annunciation. The entire process was related to Horus originally on the walls in Egypt. And yet we've been given this story and told that it's Jesus. And you heard even in the early Christian days, they compared the same aspects to Perseus and to the sons of Jupiter. In other words, those aspects of pagan religion were being included in the new burgeoning religion. That's at least the assertion of the filmmakers of Zeitgeist, the movie. And you can get a copy of this movie yourself and look at this at the pledge level of $55. But what we're encouraging you to do is to get three DVDs, not just one, for a pledge of $125. And it includes this film, Zeitgeist the Movie. It includes A Great and Mighty Wall by John Henry Clark. And it includes Black Man Wake Up by Dr. Ben, which we're going to get to some clips from in a short while. But before we do that, we need you on the phone lines pledging. We need five people right now. We're going to go back to just a few more minutes of this piece, but we're going to spend another few minutes getting you on the line first. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. About 6 hours of information coming out to you that will rattle your head, that will shake your brain, that will challenge many of your beliefs like it did mine. How is it that a being named Thoth announced to Isis that she was having a baby, and yet in our scripture, an angel comes down and announces to Mary in the same way? They seem to correlate to me. The baby is born of a virgin birth. In the Egyptian mythology, she's impregnated by the Holy Spirit. In our mythology, she's impregnated by the Holy Spirit. All of these corollaries give us pause and reason to look further into what we've been told and what we believe in this film. Zeitgeist, the movie, is about just that, challenging the mainstream. It starts off with a look at religion. It moves on to our banking system and then goes into 9/11 to question many of the myths surrounding that. However, we've got a whole pack for you at the pledge level of $125. It's Dr. John Henry Clark's A Great Mighty Walk. It is about the journey from Africa to the Americas. And also we've included Dr. Ben's Black Man Wake Up, where he goes into some of these points too, about some of that history, being Egyptian and also being found now in a different form here. These stories can be traced back in some cases to thousands of years before they appear in the West. 516-620-3602. We're going to go back to just a few more minutes of this film, and then we're going to get, hopefully, all of you to give us a call at 516-620-3602. You can't go wrong with this pledge. 6 hours of material for just a pledge of $125. You're supporting the greatest radio station in the tri-state area. That's WBAI, your Pacifica station, 99.5 FM.
The Bible is nothing more than an astro-theological literary hybrid, just like nearly all religious myths before it. In fact, the aspect of transference of one character's attributes to a new character can be found within the book itself. In the Old Testament, there is the story of Joseph. Joseph was a prototype for Jesus. Joseph was born of a miracle birth. Jesus was born of a miracle birth. Joseph was of 12 brothers. Jesus had 12 disciples. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Brother Judah suggests the sale of Joseph. Disciple Judas suggests the sale of Jesus. Joseph began his work at the age of 30. Jesus began his work at the age of 30. The parallels go on and on. Furthermore, is there any non-biblical historical evidence of any person living with the name Jesus, the son of Mary, who traveled about with 12 followers, healing people and the like? There are numerous historians who lived in and around the Mediterranean, either during or soon after the assumed life of Jesus. How many of these historians document this figure? Not one. However, to be fair, that doesn't mean defenders of the historical Jesus haven't claimed the contrary. Four historians are typically referenced to justify Jesus' existence. Pliny the Younger, Suetonius, and Tacitus are the first three. Each one of their entries consists of only a few sentences at best, and only referred to Christus or the Christ, which in fact is not a name but a title. It means the Anointed One. The fourth source is Josephus, and this source has been proven to be a forgery for hundreds of years. Sadly, it is still cited as truth. You would think that a guy who rose from the dead and ascended into heaven for all eyes to see and performed the wealth of miracles acclaimed to him would have made it into the historical record. It didn't, because once the evidence is weighed, there are very high odds that the figure known as Jesus did not even exist.
And we're going to have to leave it there for now. 516-620-3602. If your interest has been piqued, please join those people on the line right now and pledge at that $125 level for all three of these DVDs. We're calling it the African History Pack because what we have discovered is that these stories that we've been taught our entire lives are found most recently in Egypt. The attributes contributed to or attributed to Jesus are also those of Horus. But not just Horus, around different cultures. Mithra, we find, has similar aspects. We find that Abraham and Brahma, whose names are spelled similarly, have interesting similarities and aspects. And the comparisons go on and on and on. I'm not saying that any of this is factual, only that we need to challenge it and look deeper for ourselves. 516-620-3602. That is the phone number to call to make that $125 pledge of support. Take out your American Express card, take out your MasterCard, take out your Discover card, take out your Visa card, and dial that number. When you reach the volunteers, tell them you want to get the African History Pack. That's at 516-620-3602. Your pledge, every pledge counts. You may be a person who can pledge at the $500 level. You may be a person who can pledge at that $1,000 level just to say thank you that WBAI remains a voice of free speech in this city. That WBAI remains a place where we can challenge even our own, because it's necessary to do that. And as I said at the top of the hour, if we're not challenging you, we're not doing our jobs. 516-620-3602. The film is Zeitgeist, the movie. It makes the claim in its first part that these stories of Jesus are allegories, or at least borrowed from previous histories, and particularly from Egyptian stories. Horus had many of the same aspects. 516-620-3602. It's not for me to decide, and it's not for me to make the decision for you. But it is for you to look at this information and to go deeper and deeper and deeper and discover for yourself if these corollaries really are there in the record. 516-620-3602. I've been at this network for some time now, and I remain amazed at the ability for us to impact audiences, but also to challenge. I don't know that Bernie Sanders would even have reached the heights that he's reached without the folks at Pacifica having championed him forever. Most people didn't even know who Bernie Sanders was when the presidential elections began. But those of you who listen to this station certainly knew who he was and knew of his policies and his voting records, because that's what we do here. The mainstream is itself. They've got their own thing going. This is what we do. We're Pacifica Radio. We challenge it, and we challenge it right down to our own earliest beliefs. And it is our duty to do that for you and for us. 516-620-3602. I guarantee you there are people that work at this station who would not prefer that we have this on the air. There are people that listen who wouldn't prefer it. But that's why we're free speech radio. We don't all have to agree with each other. We're allowed to have different perspectives. We're allowed to support Hillary or Bernie, even Trump in some cases, I imagine. I haven't met those people around here yet. And when I do, I will expose them on the air. But the point is, it's free speech radio. That was a joke. I will not expose anyone on the air. People can vote for whomever they want. But the point is this. This is an outlet for a multiplicity of ideas and voices, and it only stays this way because of your pledges of support at 516-620-3602. We've been doing this for 50 plus years, and there have been some real victories in our history. And of course, you know that about the setbacks, which people like to talk about all the time. But we've done great things at this radio station. We have a great history here. And it's because of you, our listeners, who have supported us with your finances and dollars over these 50 plus years. And that must continue as well. So please pick up the phone now. Dial us at 516-620-3602. Ask for the African History Pack. It's going to be three DVDs, not talks, three DVDs. The first one is Zeitgeist, the movie, and it challenges our religious system. It challenges our banking system, and it challenges the mythology around 9/11. We're going to next look at A Great and Mighty Walk, which is John Henry Clark's piece. Wesley Snipes produced a really beautiful piece about the journey from Africa to the Americas. And following that, we've got a piece we're going to go into in the next hour, which Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash brought to the station. It's Dr. Ben's Black Man, Wake Up. All of that goes into history and from a different perspective. I can't wait to share what Dr. Ben has to say with you, too. This is a very powerful package. I want you to have it in your hands. I want you to have it in front of your students. I want you to have it in front of your children. Remake or just erase the nonsense they're being taught at school, or at least give them an option to choose from, an educated option. 516-620-3602. That's the phone number to call, folks. We've only got 5 minutes left in this hour, and we've got to step it up a bit. We need those phone lines to ring and ring and ring. And I know that there are enough people listening in the sound of my voice that we can get these phones ringing. If you want just Zeitgeist, the movie, you can get that at the pledge level of $55. And you can see that at Give to WBAI.org. Again, that's give, the numeral 2.
In election season, you will often hear crazy stuff.
When Mexico sends its people, they're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists.
Look how much African-American communities have suffered. To those I say, what do you have to lose?
Rosie O'Donnell's disgusting. She's a slob. If I were running The View, I'd fire Rosie. I mean, I'd look her right in that fat, ugly face of hers. I'd say, Rosie, you're fired.
Rude, crude, and crass. The rise of right-wing nationalism.
A collaboration between Out FM and The Cutting Edge. October 18th between 9 and 11 p.m. on listener-sponsored non-commercial WBAI, a marathon special.
Does that mean people of any other faith who want to refuse service to gays and lesbians that it's now legal in the state of Indiana?
The question here is First Amendment rights of religious liberty of our people.
That's Tuesday, October 18th from 9 to 11 p.m., a collaboration with Out FM and The Cutting Edge.
I'm Ken Gale, host of Ecologic on Tuesday evenings. I'm speaking the day before Halloween on how you can save money and help save the earth at the same time. How we use energy is harmful to the planet, wasteful, and expensive for ourselves, even though there have been solutions for decades. I'll go into detail on the problems and the solutions. No to poison power, fossil fuel, and nuclear. Yes to efficiency and renewable energy. That's Sunday, October 30th, 11 a.m., on the fourth floor of the New York Society for Ethical Culture, which is on the corner of 64th Street and Central Park West. Free admission.
The WBAI Community Advisory Board is holding open meetings for all to attend on the first and third Sundays at the atrium at 60 Wall Street in New York. So, what's the CAB? Well, we advise management on programming and we volunteer and help out at the station. So please come. Bring all your questions and your opinions. And again, that's on the first and third Sundays of the month at the atrium at 60 Wall Street, New York.
New York, New York. It's a hell of a town.
And it is 8:59 and 30 seconds. Coming up in just a moment, the personal computer show. If you were enjoying the Tony Bates presentation, wait 5 minutes and it will no doubt be on again. We had to terminate it halfway through so that we could get back on our actual schedule. Hank Key is with us in the studio. Time now for the personal computer show.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Personal Computer Show, the original personal computer radio show. We are also on live each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on PRN.FM, taking live toll-free phone calls. I'm Hank Key in the studio of WBAI in Brooklyn, and you can listen to the live stream at WBAI.org. You can also call us at 347-335-0818. Oh, sometime during the hour to join in the discussion, ask questions, share opinions, or make comments, and hopefully you've been making a contribution to WBAI. We are currently in a membership drive. Our pledge line number is 516-620-3602. Again, I repeat, our pledge line number is 516-620-3602. Before we begin, let me just tell you what premiums we have, and I hope that you can become a member of WBAI. We are in dire need of financial funding to stay operational on WBAI. we have the Windows 10 build 1511 distribution DVDs. That's four DVDs. Distribution build 1511 is the release or the initial release of Windows 10 2015 in the month of November. That's how you get 1511. And the four DVDs is the Windows 10 Home 32-bit, Windows 10 Home 64-bit, Windows 10 Pro 32-bit, and the Windows 10 Pro 64-bit. These are full distribution discs. It will enable you to upgrade any existing legal copy of Windows 7, 8, or 8.1 to Windows 10. Yes, I know. Microsoft said that the upgrade was finished at the end of July. But if you have the full distribution disk of 1511, that's build 1511 for Windows 10, you can still upgrade. You don't have to worry about setting the clock backwards. You don't have to worry about being online or offline. It will upgrade properly. You will get a legal activation of Windows 10. No problem at all. Request a donation is $75. We also have the Urgent Care Kit for a donation of $75. What's in it? Well, we have a whole batch of applications in the Urgent Care Kit. We have lots of tech tips. And more importantly, we have the legacy Windows operating system support, in other words, all the patches for Windows XP and Windows 7. So that's a donation of $75. And of course, you can make any amount you want in pure cash. And I just hope that when you do it, you say your favorite show is the Personal Computer Show. When you make a pledge for a premium, please send us a copy of your confirmation of that premium. This way we can track it for you, we'll follow up and make sure that it is processed. Very often the paperwork gets lost and there's been a lot of complaints and we want to make sure that you get your premium. So when you make your pledge and you get the confirmation, send a copy of the confirmation to pcradioshow.org. Address it to Hank or Joe at pcradioshow.org. Again, 516-620-3602. This week, we had a blockbuster news announcement from Samsung. Samsung has permanently discontinued production of the Galaxy Note 7. Sales of the flagship phone were halted Tuesday because replacements for the original recalled models were still catching fire and exploding. Shortly after it started doing exchanges, the updated models were involved in several serious fires, causing the evacuation of a Southwest Airlines flight and a fire that sent a Kentucky owner to the hospital with smoke inhalation. The Galaxy Note 7's brand name has been tarnished by the fires, explosions, and recalls. According to the Associated Press, Samsung said that, "Taking our customers' safety as our highest priority, so we have decided to halt sales and production of the Galaxy Note 7. The exact number of phones on the market is unknown, but it had sold about 2.5 million when the first recall was issued. After very strong reviews for the Note 7, Samsung was expected to sell nearly 20 million of these units. The company's shares fell 8% on Tuesday, wiping out $17 billion of value. The decision to drop the product is to contain the damage to the Note 7 before consumer fear spreads to other Samsung products. Samsung seeks to minimize its impact on the long-term health and reputation of the company. Samsung still has its flagship, the S7 and S7 Edge, that users can turn to. Some users will switch from Android to iOS. Users that want to stick to Android have plenty of other Android flagships to choose from, such as from LG, HTC, Sony, and even Google's recently announced Pixels. Samsung did not disclose which product line would be introduced to take the place of the Note 7. It appears that, for customers, the option now would be to take up Samsung's offer of a refund or replacement of the Note 7 with a Galaxy 7 or Galaxy S7 Edge, which was part of the offer after the CPSC recall. U.S. carriers, including Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile, announced over the weekend that they would stop the exchange of the smartphones after reports of fires and explosions involving the replacement. Just a little background. Samsung delivered 500,000 of new Note 7 to carriers and stores, which it said were safe. That came after reports in August of the Galaxy Note 7 overheating, burning users, and in some cases, exploding. Samsung issued a global recall of an estimated 2.5 million devices and said that the flaw was due to a malfunction or a manufacturing problem. On September 2nd, it ordered new batteries from another supplier and started shipping replacements to customers just 2 weeks later. But similar problems arose with the replacement units, which began smoking and forced the evacuation of the Southwest airline flight. This incident is notable because this was a replacement device that was not supposed to have the same issues as earlier Note 7s. A Minnesota teenager told a local news station her replacement device melted in her hands, leaving the 13-year-old with small burns on her thumb. A couple in Kentucky, meanwhile, came home from work to find their bedroom filled with smoke from the flames of a replaced unit. On Monday, Samsung suspended production of its flagship Galaxy 7 smartphone in replacement devices, adding to the tech giant's worst-ever recall crisis. This is a disaster for the world's largest smartphone maker and suggested it failed to fix a problem that had already hurt its brand. In regulatory filing, Samsung did not explain whether specific problems had been identified. Major airlines, air regulators, and airport authorities have reiterated bans on passengers using the phone, saying the Note 7 should not be powered up or charged on board. A South Korean government agency said it was monitoring reports of the fires and warned that the recalled Note 7 devices should not be used or charged inside airplanes. 516-620-3602. Hey, Joe, that was the news on Samsung. What's your take on it?
Hank, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we were all shook up when word of the brand new flagship of the Galaxy line, the Galaxy Note 7, was catching fire, blowing up, doing all sorts of nasty things, and nobody was saying anything about it. Then suddenly, Galaxy on its own began a recall. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, there were about 2 million units out there that had to be recalled, and people were bringing them back. Then they were notified, please don't plug them in, don't use them, just send them back, and we will have a new model for you as soon as possible. Well, Samsung's a big company. They can move very fast. And so they had a replacement model that came out last week. And you know what? It started blowing up, catching fire, and doing all sorts of nasty things. So this time, Galaxy did it a little bit differently. They try to get ahead of it, and working for the first time with the Consumer Product Safety Commission in this country, they said, while the investigation is going on, they want all carriers and all retail partners here and around the globe to stop sales and stop exchanges of the Galaxy Note 7. The device, they said, could overheat and pose serious safety risks. They're saying the following, and I quote them. Consumers with an original Galaxy Note 7 or a replacement Galaxy Note 7, power it down and contact the carrier or retail outlet where you purchased. If you bought your Note 7 from Samsung or have questions, you can contact them at 844-365-6197. I'll repeat that, 844-365-6197. But they say you really have to do one of the following. Exchange your current Galaxy Note 7 for the Galaxy S7 or the Galaxy S7 Edge and replacement of any Galaxy Note 7 specific accessories, and you will get a refund of the price differential between those devices. Or you can contact your point of purchase to obtain a full refund what you paid for the Galaxy Note 7. They also went on to say that customers who exchange the Note 7 device will also receive a $25 gift card, an in-store credit, in-store accessory credit or bill credit from selective carrier retail stores. It's important for you to pay attention to this recall. I know a lot of folks don't always do that. And while there was only a few of the 2 million phones distributed, very few blew up. If you happen to have been on an airplane like the Southwest last week, you really don't want that fire to affect everybody. The refund that you'll get, if you bought your Note 7, you should contact the 844-365-6197 number, and they will expedite your refund. Or you can just go to where you got it and get support from the place you got it. The problem here, Hank, is not that they didn't respond fast. They responded very fast, but they had a new problem with the one they replaced. And the problem seems to me that Samsung on its Galaxy line has a very serious quality assurance problem. Personally, I don't know what you guys are going to do, but I